Mark chapter 5, the book of Mark, chapter number 5. And Romans chapter 15. Mark chapter 5, look at verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that is Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. In other words, it was like a mob, and it was so close. Everybody was jostling one another. You know how it is sometimes. He was being bumped by those around him. And his disciples said, That's kind of a odd question, seeing how close everyone is to you here. And how sayest thou, Who toucheth me? He looked round about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Hey, remember this morning about faith? The most difficult part of faith is the first step. She made that first step. When she left home to go see Jesus, she made that first step. And when she reached out and touched him, she made the second step. And he said, Thy faith hath made thee whole. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your greatness, for your love, your compassion, your concern that you've shown us through Jesus, God in the flesh. What compassion and concern. Be not afraid, only believe. More occasions than one. Lord, when we bow before you and ask, we know that we have the petitions and we know that we have your ear. I pray that we come when we come before you with clean hearts and clean souls, washed in the blood of the Lamb, but forgiven daily of the sins that crosses our paths. Forgive me now. Give preaching grace again. Stand with us tonight. Touch us. Manifest yourself here. We give you all the praise, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be not afraid, only believe. And then in Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul writes in verse number 13, he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." The God of hope, yep, there's always hope. My soul, all the people that were praying, I've heard stories now, people calling one another about Miss Kathy and her little road trip. And I still have questions about that. There's hours there that are not accounted for. But people were calling, panic-stricken. You know, when you come before God, you may have a little fear. You may have a little anxiety. But what he's saying here is, be not afraid. Don't be filled with anxiety and panic. Lay it before my feet. I'll take care of it. And all is well. He's the God of hope. He's the God of hope. What does it mean? The word hope means to have an expectation. We have an expectation that when we take it to him, that's as far as we can go. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. What? Look at the next few words. In believing. That's faith. That's trust. That's confidence. In believing. Where is the joy and where is the peace? I have great peace tonight. I was a little turmoiled this morning. I was a little antsy prior. Knowing this week was coming, knowing today was coming, this week, I kept saying, Lord, what do I say? How do I say it? And I still didn't have it formed. I thought about messages to preach, and that didn't work either. Last night about 7 o'clock, I just sat down and started writing how great God has been all the way through the process. It still is. And he's the God of hope. Now I have peace. Now I have joy. Now I look forward to the expectation of God putting the other man here that's supposed to be here. I feel like the church can take off. Will I be jealous? No, I won't be jealous. I'm like what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I've laid the foundation that no other man can lay. Talking about Jesus Christ. He said, I've laid that foundation and here it is. Now it's up to you to build correctly upon it. And I anticipate that. I look forward to that. I pray for the man that's to come. I pray already for success. I think there's great things to happen here. And I want to see it. I want to be a part of it from the pew. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. There is joy and peace when you have faith and you take the first step. I don't think the joy and peace comes without that first step. I think that woman that had the issue of blood took the first step. She knew where to go. She knew what to do. And as soon as she made the step out of her house, I think she had an expectation and a hope. And when she got to Jesus, there was no hesitation. She reached out. Now, can you see this little woman that's had this issue? Jesus is surrounded by this mob. How can she get to Jesus? I rather imagine she had to elbow her way through, stick her head down and push in through the cracks, move people out of the way and keep working till she got to Jesus. Man, sometimes faith is work. Sometimes there's a great effort involved on our part to not allow Satan to distract us or discourage us or hinder us from getting to Jesus. Now the hope the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace when you believe, when you trust. It's in your trusting, in your confidence that your joy and peace is in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oftentimes our failures is a result of disbelief. Oftentimes our failures is a result of disbelief and fear. To believe, to trust, to have confidence. I have in the book of Numbers, let's go there. I want to show you some things. Let me lay the groundwork, the foundation, then I will finish quickly. Look at the book of Numbers, chapter 13. You find the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they're almost to the promised land. They say, hey, maybe we shouldn't all go up. Let's send some spies up there and check it out. They went to Moses and asked for all of that. Notice in chapter 13, look at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of the father shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. This chapter 13 is an answer for the people who in Deuteronomy chapter 1 wanted spies to go look it out. They lacked faith to keep going. They wanted to send men ahead of them. Go check it out, come back. Maybe we don't want to go all the way in. It was a lack of faith on their part. And they kept on until God said to Moses, okay, send the heads of the tribes. One man from every tribe. And he sent them. Notice down in verse 25. Where am I? Verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest and sure voted to buy this piece of property, to sell our buildings on A Street, move out here. I made the statement in March. I documented it. I made the statement in March. I said, look out. Now that you have direction and a purpose and the will of God, Satan's going to visit your house. And he's going to stir you up, and he's going to make you doubt and wonder that this is the right thing to do. Don't let him do that. I'm saying to you tonight, don't let Satan come into your mind, your heart, your soul, and say, oh, I wish it was like it was back when we were in Egypt. I wish it was like, you get excited about the prospect. Get excited about the man of God and make the first step. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Yeah, but God said he would take care of you. Who cares how big the walls are or how great the walls are? Who cares what the obstacles are, what the hindrances are? Isn't God able? He is. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They didn't see God at all in all of this. Where is their faith? Oh, I have faith. Oh, I believe God. You believe God. I believe God. It's just like God said. But, man, all these people that he lists, the Amalekites, the Hittites, Jebusites, and so on, all of those were known to be warring people. They had weapons of war. They were trained. They know how to war. And you're talking to a bunch of slaves. Sometimes that's the problem when you're trying to build something and do something. People have a mindset that comes from the background of their life rather than stepping out by faith and trusting God. Rather than saying God is able, they say, think back to what mom and dad used to say, you know, years ago and how their families were and all the, you know, we can't do that. We've never done it this way before and we can't. It's impossible. Don't get that mindset. All you have to do is look at the property, look at the buildings, look at everything. The pews you're sitting on were given to us by God's hand. Someone donated the money outside of our church and bought our pews. Everything about this property is yelling, God's here, God's here, God's here. And you must exercise your faith. Verse 36, Caleb stilled the people. Hush, be silent, don't say that. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. See what they're looking at? The physical, the material, the tangible. They're not looking at the spiritual. I'm telling you the truth tonight. I want this church to prosper, and I want you to prosper. And you're the foundation of it. You're good people. You've been taught. You've been trained. You trust God. Don't let Satan come in and hinder and doubt and worry you. Stay strong. Keep marching forward like Caleb said. And don't get to the point where, hey, these people are stronger. It's bigger. We've never done it this way before. We are not able to do this. No, you're not able, but God is able. You got to trust him. They went up. The men went up and said, the people are stronger than we. Never confuse the will of the majority with the will of God. You don't have that many people that's going to be voting. Don't confuse the will of the majority with the will of God. You say, well, it must be God's will because we all voted this way. That doesn't make it so. They voted for two men before me, and both of them were either crooks or dishonest or not worthy. They left their church they got in trouble at, moved to a different state. Now they're coming from there to here. There were two men before me that finally the pulpit committee never actually called their references and checked on them. They just assumed that, hey, these are godly men. I mean, they're a preacher. They got a church there. They must be okay, and they come highly recommended. They can preach. They had them in to preach. They voted. They said, man, yeah, this is the guy, and they voted them in, two of them. And they were both wrong. Never confuse the will of the majority. That's why I say you need to be preparing your heart and praying and say, oh God, help us get the right man that you want the very first time. But you cannot do that by getting in the flesh and getting panic stricken. We've got to have someone by such and such a date. Not unless God wills it, you don't. Be not afraid. Only believe. McIntosh says this, I quote it, wrote it down in the margin of my Bible, talking about faith. Listen to this very carefully. Faith looks at the problem or the enemy or the obstacle or whatever it is that you have to have faith about. God, give me back my wife, take care of her, be secure, put her in the hands of someone that will be kind and not into the hands of someone else. Help, Lord God, please. Faith reasons from God to the difficulty. It begins with Him. Faith reasons from God to the difficulty, and it all begins with Him. Unbelief, on the contrary, reasons from the difficulties to God, and it begins with them. We can't. They're stronger. They're mightier. They're warriors. We can't overcome them. True, you cannot. But that's not the end of the story. God can. When you're in the flesh, you look at the difficulties. Normally, people look at the bank accounts or the amount of money that's coming in, and they say, what can we afford? How can we figure this? They look at the bottom line and start figuring from a monetary portion like they're trying to balance their checkbook, and there's nothing spiritual about that. You cannot look at the difficulty and expect faith to overcome when you look at the difficulty and you see the reasons of the difficulty and then you look to God. Because it's beginning. Well, you're telling God, we can't do this. We can't afford. We can't afford this man. We can't afford staff members. We can't do this. Usually left to themselves without a pastor of leadership, people began right there with the money. I have this to say to you. The bank account is in fantastic shape. You don't have to worry about that. You just have to depend upon God. Faith reasons from God to the difficulty. It begins with Him. God, here it is, in your hands. We're looking for your direction, your purpose, your help in all of these. Whether you're praying for yourself, you're praying for God to send the right person, you're praying for your nation, you're praying for your family, whatever you're praying about, it's from God to the difficulty. God is well able to overcome any difficulty there is. And when you go to God first and you look at Him first and He's the center focus, nothing's impossible with God. When you have men who are used to analyzing and looking at and discerning from the flesh, and that may be part of their job or something else, that's the first thing they're going to look at, is the fleshly material things and try to reason, can we do it or can we not do it? That's not where you go. You always go to God first. Moses knew the kind of place it was. He already told them what kind of place it was for their own benefit, and yet they ignored it. They didn't see God in this at all. All they could see was the children of the giant. All they could see were the great walls that were around the cities. All of the obstacles, all of the negative things. God took them from slavery in Egypt all the way up and said, I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey, fruit, houses that you didn't build that you will inhabit. They said, yes, that's all there, just like God said. Okay, end of story. Why do you need to go farther? Why do you need to dwell upon the difficulty? Well, we're such a small group now. Who's going to want to come here? A man with a vision is going to want to come here. A man who sees no debt and sees no obstacles but sees the masses of people here that are available will want to come here. A man who sees a place that's large enough, he can put down roots and stay here. That's the kind of person who will want to. Yeah, but we don't have many in our church. Yeah, well, he doesn't have to go long before it becomes his church that way. You know what I'm saying? He can add 50 people to this church, and the ones that are already with him and the 50 he brings in, it becomes his church. There are more for him than against him. I say that, but we don't want any against him. We want everybody on board. That's why I'm saying be spiritual about it and pray. Notice, how far did I go? Notice verse 32, they brought up the evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. It's huge. It's there, and all the people that we saw there are men of great stature. They're saying they're better than us, stronger than us. They're warriors. We're slaves. Oh, they failed. They were so insecure. They failed to see the greatness of Almighty God. He'd shown them time and time again. Look, He answered prayer. He gave them cornbread from heaven. He gave them quail from the desert. He gave water from a rock. He destroyed the Egyptians in the Red Sea. They saw all that. Where's their faith? How much does it take? You people have heard all the stories about this property and buildings and how it came about. That ought to be enough for you to realize God is in it. God has His hand on it. God doesn't want it to sink. He wants it to prosper. And they saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. No, we were as grasshoppers in their sight. I know my limitations, but I know how unlimited God is. Don't be afraid. Only believe. The word believe is 131 times in the Bible. Faith is used 231 times in the Bible. Trust is used 134 times in the Bible. The word hell is only used 54 times in the Bible. What is God's priority on? Trusting Him. Faith. Faith will overcome hell. Faith will overcome so much and everything. Look at the, I want you to keep in mind this story because I'm going to talk about it. But I want you to look in the 118th Psalm in verse number 8. The 118th Psalm, verses 5 through 10 are the very verses that gave me the vision for this property back in 1998 when I was in Carthage, Missouri, at a revival meeting that Dr. House, who's coming next week, was preaching. He was preaching on a different subject, but God spoke to me from the verses of Scripture about this property and even the name of the future church that we would have. In verse 5, he says, I called upon the Lord in distress, in trouble, pain, a narrow place. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now, I don't know how you interpret that, but God spoke there and said, I'm moving you from A Street to a large piece of property. That's what God said to me. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Verse 8, listen. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or politicians or rulers. What a great thing. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. A resume is a piece of paper where you're going to put your best foot forward all the time. All of your great accomplishments is there on the resume. Okay. To bring about your confidence in them so that you will call them and think, oh man, look, here's another thing. When we look for a man of God for the next pastor here at church, we're not looking for everything we can get out of, we're not comparing individual with individual. Well, this man can sing and has a beautiful voice. This man can't sing. If we have this man, we get some great solos. His wife can play the organ as well, and we get an additional musician here. This man doesn't have, his wife can't play the piano or the organ. He doesn't sing. So this man looks like, obviously, the best one that we want for the pulpit. Not so. You remember when God chose David as the king? The Bible says he was ruddy and short and not one that you would pick. His brothers were better looking and better suited as warriors than David was. But the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Man usually looks on the outward things and all the accomplishments. Your resume lists here, man, you've done some wonderful things. That's great. And you can preach a little bit. And your wife this and your children there. You can have your own quartet. Oh, that's what we, oh, this is wonderful. You're in the flesh, people. I've always had confirmation from God when I was headed in the right direction and my faith took the first step in Him. I always had confirmation from Him I was doing the right thing, always. You know the story with my wife. I prayed her down. She walked in. I never saw her face. I just saw the back of her head as she sat in front of me. But the Holy Spirit said, that's the one I have for you. Man, I got excited. Here's an answer to prayer. And after I met her after church and saw how she just swooned over me and she was so elated with me and she just could hardly resist me, I thought, yeah, this is a pretty good deal right here. No, it didn't happen that way, I have to admit. I won her over. But what I'm saying in that is this, if you're praying to God for the right individual, and you mean it sincerely, and you're praying about it, when he comes, you're going to know it. The Holy Spirit's going to give you confirmation. He may not be a musician, he may not be able to sing, but one of the qualifications is, number one, he must love the Lord and he must be able to preach. He's got to be able to feed us from the Bible. I don't want some podunk who gets his sermons offline or, you know, three for a dollar somewhere. I don't want that. I want someone who meets with God and preaches from the book. So don't be afraid, only believe. I'm giving you some good advice here. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. In the 33rd Psalm, I want you to notice, in Psalm 33 in verse number 20, Psalm 33, verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. I began praying, Lord, I'm not interested in the girls in my school, the girls in my class, or any older or younger. Lord, send me the right girl to date and eventually to marry. Lord, help me. I keep going by that because that was one of the first life-changing events that happened in my life. Before I started preaching. And it happened. He says, our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. Lord, send us the right man, and when you see him and hear him, you'll know it. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let your mercy be upon us according as we hope in thee. What does this mean? It means little hope, little mercy. If you're not really depending upon the Lord, there will be little evidence to you. The more you depend upon him, the more you have hope in him, the more you trust him, the greater the mercy, the greater the evidence that he's working on your behalf. Okay. Now I can really run fast. Listen, number one, don't be afraid, only believe. My first point. The problem is not believing that God can and did provide for all the Old Testament and the New Testament saints. That's not the problem. We read it in the book. We can read it in the flesh and see where God provided for the children of Israel. We can read it in the book and see where God took care of his disciples and got them out of prison and from harm's way and miraculously opened the prison gates and the chains fell off and as a result of the prayer of God's people. We can read all that and believe it. That's not the question. The problem is not believing that God can and did provide for Old Testament, New Testament saints, but the problem is, will he provide for me now? Will he do this for me? That's the problem. You can't believe. You can believe that God did all these things to all these other people, but when it comes time in your own life with your difficulty or your situation or even praying for the right man to be here, you have to be able to believe. Confidence that God is going to do it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, through 8, Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation, we remember King James, lifestyle, your living. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Man, oh man. When this was nothing but a mesquite patch and there were no gates in the fences, I crawled through the fence and came out here when we bought this and walked the property alone and later had a group of men meet out here. And then we had a sunrise service one Easter out here. And I kept saying, pray, pray, pray that God will always be here. And when people come to this place, they will sense the very presence of God. Pray that God will meet with us here and God's presence will always be obvious here. Notice he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you. That's leadership. That's a pastor. That's a shepherd. Remember them which have the rule over you, who hath spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, of their life. Considering. It means discerning accurately, considering the end of their life, their lifestyle, as they followed Christ, that we discern accurately, consider the end of their life. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If God could take care of the Hebrew people and take care of all of those warriors that they were so afraid of, God said, hey, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Don't worry, but I want you to step up. I want you to get the men together and go, but I will take care of them. More than one occasion, he did that. He was trying to prove to them that he was trustworthy. Again and again, learn to depend upon me, God was saying. And he did it over and over again. So the problem is not believing, oh, yeah, I've read it. I believe God did that. I believe God can do that. The problem is, will he do it for you and will he do it for me? That's where it comes in. We have to be discerning enough to remember that faith is for all of us and it's not about having a vision for something. It's about making the first step in that something. The second thing, don't be afraid, only believe. Remember that the 10 spies, how many were there? How many spies were there? There was 12. But the 10 doomed themselves and their families because of disbelief. The 10 that said, oh, but we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Oh, but they're warriors and they're bad dudes and they know how to fight and they have war horses and they have swords and... Man, listen, we can't go, yes, God is truthful, yes, but nevertheless, we can't. The 10 doomed themselves and their families because of disbelief. They didn't doom themselves and wreck their families and wreck their lives because they were drunkards or because they were adulterers or because they were murderers. They doomed themselves and their families because they could not trust God. They could not depend upon Him. It was disbelief that doomed them. Notice Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In other words, God said, hey, come on, slaves. I want to take you to a land of milk and honey. You've had problems down here. Let me take you to a land that you didn't do anything about, but I'm going to give you vineyards that already has fruit. I'm going to give you orchards that are already loaded. I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do all of that for you. Come on. Man, they started off. But as the going got rougher, they began to wonder about this thing. And then when they said, we need to send people up and see if it's really there. Why couldn't they just believe God? Oh, so they sent 12 men out. Two of them came back and they said, it's just like those guys said it was. There are warriors there. There are walled cities. But it's just like God said it was. There's the fruit. There's the houses. Everything is there. And God is well able to take care of us. Let's go up. They were ready to take that first step. They were saying, let's go up, let's go up. The 10 said no. The majority outvoted the minority. The majority is not always right. That's not a good thing to depend upon. I know when Judas Iscariot hanged himself. The church said, you remember, you read it in the first couple of chapters of Acts, and they said, let's replace Judas Iscariot as one of the disciples. And they began to vote, and so they voted on, and the majority cast the lot, and they voted for so-and-so. I don't even know who his name is. I don't think he was a true disciple. God chose the Apostle Paul and put him in there. And Paul said, I'm an apostle by the will of God. By the Lord Jesus Christ, I am an apostle. It's not what the church voted on. It was not the majority who cast the lot and this dude got elected. And now he's, what did he do? What do we ever read where he did anything or preached a sermon or performed a miracle? Never, not one time. But we see the life of Paul, who willingly admits he's an apostle chosen by God. I think he was the 12th one. So there's not safety and security in numbers. Well, everybody voted for it. That doesn't mean it's right. Supreme Court years ago said same-sex marriage is right. They voted it in unanimously. It doesn't make it right. So I'm saying to you, there's safety in prayer. There's safety in dependence. There's safety in relying upon God. There's safety in looking to God for the solution, not looking at the material things and looking at the physical things and say, well, let's see how much we have in the bank, or let's take a vote, or let's compare. We want this preacher to come, this preacher, this preacher, this preacher, and this preacher to come, and we're going to compare. That's not the way to do it. I didn't compare girls when I said, God, send me the right woman. I didn't say, okay, send me three or four and let me pick. I said, send me the right one, and he sent me one, and I knew who it was. That's the way you go after a pastor. Some of you have never had to call a pastor in your life. You say, well, do not succumb to the flesh. It's a spiritual choice. Remember the 10 spies doomed themselves and their families because of disbelief. Paul writes, and he says here in chapter 4, he said, let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest. Listen, it's rest, it's peace, it's joy. When you take the first step of faith in God's leadership, you have rest, you have joy, you have peace. All the fears have disappeared. But as long as you walk in fear and say, dread, I don't know if we're able, I don't know if we're qualified, I don't know if we can, well, let's choose between these five and let's compare resumes and see who has the PhD, and let's see who can sing or whose wife plays. One of my pet peeves as pulpit committee is asking, does your wife play the piano? I've pastored four churches in my life, three of them in the first 10 years of ministry, and then this one for 35 years. And every time I went someplace, this one included, when the pulpit committee questioned me, they didn't question me about the theology of the blood. They didn't ask me about, what I believed about the tribulation or any of the. They asked me, one of the first questions, does your wife play the piano? And I said to the moron who asked me that, I said, what difference does that make? What difference does that make? Does my wife play the piano? Are we comparing candidates for the ministry here? And if my wife plays the piano, I get picked because the other three doesn't have a wife that plays the piano? That's stupidity. Stupidity. That's in the flesh. Remember, he said, let us fear that we're not in the flesh, that we're not of unbelief, but let us fear God having given us this direction and this purpose, that we make a mess of it like the 10 spies did, who doomed Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 more years until all those old heads died off and the young generation came up and they went in to inhabit the promised land. Note, Wiersbe says that Israel's Canaan rest is similar to the life of victory and blessing that we gain as we walk by faith, claiming our inheritance from Jesus Christ. That's good. Here's the last thing. Number three, don't be afraid, only believe. We learn to believe God. We learn to trust God and depend upon God, in other words. We learn to believe God by giving Him opportunities to show Himself on our behalf. We give Him opportunities to show Himself strong, to show Himself present on our behalf. Man, I was in dead earnest Friday night when I went out in the street. No traffic coming up and down where I live. It was dark. The moon was bright and shining. I walked out there to get away from people in the house, and I prayed. I said, Lord, it's not a question of whether you can or not. It's a question of willing. I know you will take care of Kathy. God, I'm not ready for this to end. Take care of her. Give her back. Bring her home. He was confirming all of that. He did what I asked, but I'm not the only one that prayed. There were hundreds of people praying for the same thing, so I don't take credit for the... I had part in it. But God gave me what I asked for. We learn to believe God by giving Him opportunities. I've already been down that road. Lord, I'll show you faith. You show me property to buy. I'll show you faith within the hour. There it is. I knew God could do it. I believed it. I trusted. I had a discerning heart for God. Take care of my wife. And I told Him, I said, you know, I've been floundering back and forth and doubting and not wanting to pull the trigger, not wanting to take the last step and say, okay, it's final, it's over, I'm out of here, I retire, I resign, it's over at this date. I dreaded that. Now I have peace with it. Now I have joy with it because I took the first step and pulled that trigger. When I walked out in that street and I said, God, I need my wife back. I don't know where she is, but I'm praying that you keep her safe. I walked away from there with confidence that He was going to do so. And at about 10 minutes to 12, 10 minutes to midnight, the phone rang with an 806 area code, Lubbock, Texas. I said, ooh, could it be possible? And I answered, that deputy on the other end said, is this Burl Gunner? I said, it most certainly is. I said, he said, this is so-and-so with Brownfield Police Department. And I said, he said, there's someone here that you probably would like to speak to. I said, yes. And my heart came up in my throat. And she said, hello? I said, hello there. I said, do you know who this is? She said, my husband? You could hear the officers in the background laughing. I said, yeah, it's your husband. It's Burl. I said, how are you? She said, I'm all right. I'm fine. I said, I'm coming after you. You are? I said, I'm coming for you. Okay. And I talked to the officers again. I said, she dehydrates. We're keeping her fed, and we have plenty of water. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. I hung up the phone, and I lost it. Because of fear? No. Because of thanksgiving, God came through again. He's the God of hope. He's the God of joy and peace. He just wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. He wants to show you, but we fail to take that first step and say, Lord, I trust you. We learn to believe God by giving Him opportunities to show Himself on our behalf by praying specific prayers. Not, Lord, bless me and use me for, you know, no, specific prayers. Lord, the money's kind of tight this week, you know, and at the end of the week, I got a $150 bill that's coming due. I need to pay. Lord, I need help. God provides. When you pray specifically and he answers, you know it's not a chance thing. Satan will always come to your mind and say, well, that probably would have happened anyway, even if you hadn't have prayed. It probably was on the way and was going to happen. You think that God answered your prayer. Satan will be right there and try to take all the credit away from God. Don't you let him do it. You prayed specifically and God answered specifically. You give, you tithe, giving God. Watch him give back all the time. You can't outgive God. I don't care how much you give, you cannot outgive God. Never. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in others. John chapter 16 and verse 23 and 24. He said this. In that day shall you ask me nothing, Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Oh, Lord, you answered my prayer again. All the way home, under my breath, I just gave thanks to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You answered prayer, specific prayer, again, again. It's been over and over. God, how great, how much can you brag on God? You've done it repeatedly that your joy may be full. But you got to make that first step. When you trust him. You say, oh, I trust God. Yeah, okay. Then get in the boat. I trust God. Act upon it. Romans 15, 13, you know, we read it. There's joy and there's peace in believing God. He's the God of all hope. He gives joy and peace to those that believe. It's through the process of believing. But it's not just that head knowledge believing. It's making an effort because of that belief. There is no fear to those who believe. Mark 5 and 36, don't be afraid. Only believe. He said to that centurion, to that man whose daughter, 12 years old, was in difficulty. She was going to die. And he said, Lord, help me. He said, don't be afraid. The people came and they said, she's died already. Don't bother Jesus anymore. And Jesus turned to him and said, don't be afraid. Only trust me. Only believe. Wow. How many times has he said that repeatedly over and over again? In the book of Mark, chapter number 9, I believe it is, in verse 23, he said it again. Verse 23, and Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Drive away the doubts, Lord. I believe, I believe. He stepped out by faith. He put the first step on his trust. I believe. Lastly, John chapter 7, verse 38. I want you to see this. John chapter 7, verse 38. Others are blessed by your belief. When you trust God and depend upon him, others are blessed by your faith. Notice, John 7, 38. He that believeth on me, there's that word. He that trusts, he that depends, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Shall flow, rhythm to run like water, shall flow. Out of you, when you trust God, you act upon that trust. You see God come through. He gives you what you ask for. Out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. What does it mean? What does it mean? Not a trickle, notice, not a trickle, not a drip, but flow rivers. This spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now let me share something with you. I wrote this in the margin of my Bible years ago about this verse 38. He that trusts me, depends on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow living rivers of living water. That's for the benefit of others. That's not only for your benefit. That's so that your testimony encourages others to trust and obey. Now listen, anything that is of self, pride, ego, worry, fret, panic, frenzy, anything that is of self stops the flow from going outward. When you begin to dwell upon me like the 10 spies, when they said, yeah, God is faithful, it's just like God said, nevertheless, we can't go in because there's warriors there and giants there and the cities are walled about with great walls. It's impossible for us to overcome all of that. Whoa! What are you saying? We're scared to death. That's what I'm saying. We're scared to death. And we don't know how to overcome the warriors. We don't have a plan. We're frightened. Okay, but you failed to realize that God is well able. They got their eyes on themselves. Nevertheless, here's the way we figured it. Here's the way we analyzed it. Here's the way we deciphered it. Here's the way we think that it's going to work. We can't do this. Anything that is of self stops the flow of hope, blessing, joy, and peace from going out of you in your victory. Anything that is of self, when you begin to doubt, when you begin to worry, when you begin to have self-pity, when you begin to have bitterness in your life towards someone else, your anger begins to flow more than this blessing. Your pride and your covetousness will stop the rivers of water and blessing from flowing to others. Get on the wagon. Get in there with Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, our God is able. We can't do it, but God can. Get on the wagon with them and go into the promised land. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. It will all be. Who was that? Who was that? Where was I a moment ago? McIntosh says, the difficulty, when we see the difficulty, the difference between spirituality and carnality is that when that difficulty arises, we look to God first, and we look at the difficulty through God's eyes, through His power, His knowledge, His ability, and we see that the difficulty is not that bad at all. But the problem comes oftentimes that when we have these difficulties, rather than going to God and looking from God's perspective, we look through the difficulty back to God and we say, He's a long way off and He may not even want to deal with this, and look how great this is and the big problem and the mess that it's in. Get your eyes off that difficulty. Get your eyes on God. God is able. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. How about it? Let's stand and be dismissed.